morning. It is such a sweet privilege to be with you all this morning, and good job getting here through the rain and the wind and all the craziness. I have to tell you, this morning I started the day in a totally different outfit, and I did not check the weather, and I took off to the bus stop walking with all of my kids and my littlest, my three-year-old, on his little balance bike, and we get up the street, up the first street, and my nine-year-old son goes, "Mommy, I think it's about to pour." I'm like, "Oh, we're fine." It's whoosh. And so we all went home and we changed from head to toe, our full outfits, and I drove them to school. So, but I kind of love that I started the day as a bit of a hot mess today. I mean, I have a lot of days like that, honestly, but I love it because that is exactly the place that I want to speak from this morning. Because that is exactly the place that I feel like the Lord invites us as mamas. I think it's easy sometimes sitting in a seat like you're sitting in right now, looking up here and thinking that the person up front might have it together. I want to absolutely assure you I do not. So I'm right in the trenches with you, and the behind the scenes of my house is just as wild and crazy and loud and messy as you might imagine, and you might imagine it being in your own house. My passion from where I am in this season of motherhood is to just encourage you and speak over myself too, those real life places where things get really messy, those are the places where God loves to meet with us. And I think early on in my motherhood journey, I felt like I just have to get through the sleepless nights. I just have to get through I just have to get to where I can think straight to figure out God in this motherhood season. I can't take any more intentionality on. My faith had been about long journal entries and long chats with friends and, just all this mindful, intentional connection with the Lord, because I had the time and the space for that. And I remember early on in motherhood just feeling like, okay, I'll get there. I can't even think about it right now. So I would sit in a chair like you guys are right now, and I'd think, someday I'll be able to think straight enough to think about what's being said, but right now I can't even connect with it. I don't know if any of you feel like that, but I see a lot of strollers lined up over there. I know a lot of you guys are in the little teeny years, and I see you, and I just want to encourage you that my journey with the Lord has been, in motherhood specifically, has been that we actually don't have a faraway God. I think when I used to read the promises of God in Scripture, and then life got kind of messy and real. They felt far away. You guys ever feel like that? The promises of I never leave you or forsake you, or peace that passes understanding, and all of these things that the Bible talks about, all those things, and just God as a person felt far away to me when life got messy. And I think my journey in motherhood, and where I want to encourage you guys this morning, is that actually in the messy places has been where I've discovered the good news that we don't have a faraway God, but we have a God who left heaven and put skin on and came to enter into the mess. So I believe that there are invitations of God in the crazy sleeplessness that you're in right now, right now, whatever season you're in. And I know not all of you have little bitties, but whatever season you're in, I think there are invitations that God's extending. So, motherhood gets kind of up in our face really fast, right? It's from kind of the moment of birth, whether you gave birth biologically or whether you came to be a mom through adoption, or it's a messy process, right? It's kind of from the very first moments, you kind of feel spilled out, the contents of a purse, and you're kind of okay, and how do I put this back together again? And then you realize that you never do, right? It's my heart actually lives outside my body now in the middle of kind of a war zone, and I can't zip my chest back up. Like, it's just open, right? Motherhood. So it gets kind of up in our face real, really fast. And so I feel really tender and sensitive towards those of you who have, like, barely slept this week, and those of you who have, yeah, I see a couple hands. I see you, and I am so sensitive to, like, I don't want to add any bit, any ounce of striving or something extra that you're supposed to do. Or so just know this morning, my heart for us is to encounter a God who put skin on and entered into the real life stuff. And who I think whispers to us when our hearts are just raw and crying out. That's where we get to hear that whisper. So I think just a little bit more about my motherhood journey. I think at the beginning, I came in with all of these expectations. Expectations for what I was supposed to be like, expectations for what my kids were supposed to be like, and it kept feeling like things would get in my way. Like, kind of like I said already, but it's like, if I could just get a solid night's sleep, I can be like the kind mother that I want to be. Or if I could just, you know, I was always waiting for the next thing. Or if I could just, like, figure out how to be really well connected to friends right now, maybe I wouldn't feel so isolated and invisible and alone. Or maybe if I, you know, and it was kind of like, motherhood would be awesome because this is the greatest joy and the greatest blessing, right? It's like I could think that and know that and tell myself that all the time. And yet it was kind of like, yeah, motherhood is awesome, except that, like, I planned this whole thing for my kids and then it blew up in my face. Like, except we spent the whole morning trying to get to the park to meet our friends, and then somebody pooped their pants. Like, you know, or like, except we just, you know, we just did plan this whole thing, and I'm so excited about it, and somebody spiked a fever. Or like, it's just, you know, it was just like, I felt constantly disappointed, and constantly like I was waiting for the barriers to go away, you know? And I was holding on for dear life to the things that I thought I needed to make my life okay. Like, I just need to hang on. Like, if I can just get a good night's sleep, I just need to hang on to, like, my sense of dignity. I just need to, right? You're laughing at me. That's exactly the right response, because it's like, we know, right? There's no dignity in motherhood. It's like we wipe poop off of walls, like, right? I don't know if you've done that yet, but I have. Picked it up off the floor. I mean, there's no dignity. I've gotten, like, my face spat in by a three-year-old. Like, there's no dignity, right? But I was holding on to dear life to those things, like my dignity and my sleep and my community and my, you know, these things are good. These things are good things. But I think when I was grasping, there were just these roots of bitterness and roots of disappointment. And I had a little bit of resentment towards my children, who I was telling myself were the greatest gift I had ever received, and yet kind of living it like miserable a lot of the time. And so feeling like this would be awesome. This is gonna be awesome if you guys just do the craft the way I said to do the craft, you know. This is gonna be awesome if, like, you just stop getting sick, you know, if you just stop. And I all of that was just bubbling up in me. It's ugly, right? It's ugly, but it was just like, just, that was what was in me. And so it was like, this would be awesome, except, this would be awesome, except, this would be, why is this not awesome? And it just brought me to this place of going, Lord, this cannot be the story. Like, what am I doing? But this cannot be the whole story. This cannot be what motherhood is about. Like, it cannot be about doing it all right and having these dreamy Instagram-worthy moments with my children. That cannot be what this is about, right? That would be a really depressing thing if that was it. And I found myself just crying out with that, like, it? Like, is this what it is? It's just like pretending that I'm having the dreamy Instagram-worthy moments, and actually I'm like kind of miserable and don't even like my kids half the time. And true. And I felt these whispers. I started to sense, as I cried out with those questions, I started to sense the Lord going, oh, there's so much more for you. And I started to experience these transformations where I felt like the Lord was saying the roadblocks are actually the bridges. The barriers are actually the doorways. Like, this is where you get to know a real God in your real life. And so that's really what I want to talk about this morning is when I stopped trying to grasp on for dear life to my life, and I started dying on purpose in my home, it got really sweet, you guys. It got really, really sweet. And it's still hard, but I believe that this is sacred ground that we're walking on as mamas. It's really holy ground. And I think that the Lord's eyes are so tender towards us. And I think there's so much more that He longs to pour out to us in this season of raising little people than we sometimes allow ourselves to believe. So I kind of reached this breaking point when my fourth child was born. My husband was traveling, and we had this series of sicknesses. They knew us like on a first name basis at the ER. We had injuries, and it kind of culminated in just me basically going, "I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I don't know how to be mom. Like, I don't know how to be mom when my kids can get hurt right in front of my face, and there's nothing I can do about it. And there has to be more." And that kind of began this journey of, like, this is a God of more. This is a God who wants to invite me here in the middle of the craziness. And as I was asking the Lord this year, I like to ask the Lord for a word for the year. And this New Year's, I felt like the Lord was whispering that word more to me, where even now, my fourth child is 5 now, so that was 5 years ago that I kind of reached that breaking point and began this journey of doing motherhood differently. And here, 5 years later, the Lord is still whispering that word more to me. And I think there's so much more that God wants to give us, that He is a God of more than we can ask or imagine. So when I'm feeling like there's not enough of me, there's not enough wisdom to make decisions and raise my children and shepherd them, there's not enough time, there's not enough energy, 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, God has the power to provide you with more than enough of every kind of grace. Matthew 7:11 says, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Matthew 6:30 says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, will He not much more clothe you? John 16:7 is about the more of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to His disciples, it is better that I go so that I can send the Helper, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit to you. I have even more for you. And then Ephesians 3:20 says, to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. So no matter your season, I believe that the Lord is inviting you to more of Him, and more of every kind of grace, every kind of grace. So if you need grace over the energy, or grace over the wisdom, or grace over the time, or grace over the diagnoses that you're dealing with your kids, or grace over whatever, grace over health, grace over every kind of grace, there's more. And I think the very things standing in our way, the real life, messy things, are the places where we can enter in the deepest with the Lord. Okay, so let's talk about some specific invitations. So one of the barriers that I've mentioned a couple times is kind of this exhaustion or just weakness and kind of coming up against our human limitations. Is that something you guys feel sometimes? Like, there's just not enough of me. I mean, I remember that year my My fourth was born and my oldest started kindergarten 1 week later. So I was like driving carpool and I would literally ask my five-year-old, like, can you make sure that my eyes open when the light turns green, like at a red light? Like, can you make sure that I'm awake? And she's like, okay, mommy. I mean, it was bad. It was bad. And that, you know, just coming up against that. And then, of course, you're irritable. Of course, I was irritable. I was, like, not sleeping. And was not the mom I wanted to be. And I was just coming up against my humanness. And, you know, I think from that place, Exodus 16, it talks about the Israelites in the desert. And they're kind of crying out, hungry for food. They're like, send us back to Egypt. And there's this beautiful invitation that I didn't really see until that season of my motherhood journey, which is that the Lord didn't just give them food, but he cultivated this dependence, this relationship of closeness and dependence by saying, I'm going to send you manna every morning. Not for the week, not for the year, like just today. And I think that's just such a sweet invitation to learn about dependence on the Lord. I think that was a really intentional thing that the Lord did with the Israelites, and I think he does the same thing with us. And I think in that season, I just began to see that, like, oh my gosh, when I come up against the weakness and the exhaustion, part of what overwhelms me is thinking, how am I going to make it through the week? How am I going to make it through the month? How am I going to make it until they all leave for college? Like, how am I going to make it? And the Lord's just going, there is enough grace for today. So just gather up what you need for right now, and there will always be enough. And that has totally transformed that weakness and that exhaustion and those human limitations that I'm coming up against, and just going, okay, there's enough of you. There's enough grace for this moment. And that allows me to be present, you know, in just this moment. Instead of going, I'm afraid to give to my children because I'm going to run out, you know? You feel that wrestling match sometimes where it's like, I'm afraid to pour out again because I feel like by the end of the day I'm going to be exhausted. And instead to just go, Lord, there's always enough for right now. So that, like, gathering up grace like manna and learning that dependence on the Lord, I feel like is the invitation. That can come out of that place of weakness. Okay, another invitation and barrier. The barrier would be the tantrums and the misbehavior. I don't know how many of you are in those seasons right now, but I know I still am. And I think the invitation here is to learn about belovedness. So with misbehavior, I think my eyes have started to shift as a parent, and I'm sure some of you have walked through this too, where I'm going, you don't know that my answer of no is love. Like when a two-year-old screams at you because you tell them not to run in the street, they don't understand that the no is love. But that discipline and dealing with a child's misbehavior and setting those loving boundaries, I think, shows me my own heart with the Lord and going, oh, I don't sometimes see that God's heart is love for me when he says no, or when an answer to prayer doesn't come the way I want it to, or when, and I see myself in these little people who are wrestling through their finding the boundaries and they're finding the no's. And they're coming into a place as they grow of trusting the relationship. And I think the invitation is the same for us as God's children. And with the tantrums, I think, or whatever kind of mess of needs, children, I think there's something really beautiful about children who know they're loved. They are not afraid to ask for what they need. They're not afraid to make a scene. They're not afraid to cry. They're not afraid to yell. They're not afraid to express how they feel and what they need. And they're not afraid to ask for a hug. And, they're not afraid to be, like, sloppy in it. And as uncomfortable as that is to have the kid who's screaming in the store or whatever, I feel like this invitation of the Lord to see the freedom and the belovedness in it. Like, this child knows they're loved, and actually sends an invitation of the Lord to go, like, I want you to bring your sloppy needs to me too, and let me hold you. And I don't know about you guys, but that was not a freedom I felt as a child. I didn't feel the freedom to express that way, or I would not have been kicking and screaming on the kitchen floor because that would not have been okay in my home. And so there's actually, if you have kids doing that, I think there's something to celebrate in it because they feel loved and safe enough to express. And I think the Lord is transforming those moments for me and showing me that, like, he actually loves to hear our hearts too. And he loves for us to come and say, will you just hold me? Will you just tell me who I am? Will you just tell me that I'm going to be okay? In the same way that our children ask us for. Matthew 18, 2 through 4 says, he called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change to become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I love that there's an invitation to become like our children. Obviously not in every way, but to learn from them and kind of be students alongside of them. You know, it's like, yeah, just as a little bit of an aside, I think there is an invitation there too where we can learn alongside of them because we might be able to teach them the Bible verse, but they might actually know how to live loved better than we do, you know. We might be able to tell them, God is the giver of good gifts, but they know how to ask and receive probably better than we do. You know, there's this sweet invitation to learn from them even as we shepherd them. Okay, the third barrier that I want to talk about is just the endless sacrifices. And I kind of mentioned this one already, but there are just so many moments, I think, in motherhood where you're giving up your sleep, or you're giving up your comfort, or you're giving up your dignity, or you're giving up your time, or you're trying to listen to the story about lizards, you know, that like you're trying to care, you're giving your attention, you know. All the moments where you're giving of yourself, you're laying something down. And I think there that can be kind of a place where we resist. I know for me, there were times where I wrestled with it. There was stuff in me that was kind of like, I am too good for this, which is yucky. But I felt that way. Like I felt like, gosh, I cannot spend another day just like changing diapers and making and cleaning up the same kitchen like over and over and over and over. Like, what is life? You know? And you know, I think the Lord is transforming that into this beautiful thing where we're invited to get low and to lose our life on purpose to find it. And you guys, it's being transformed for me. Those lowly moments have become, are becoming, not in every moment, they are becoming for me like this dance of worship before my King. Like, you see me. No one else can see this, and that's kind of sweet. You know, I get to just, like, do 47 loads of laundry just for you, you know? Feels like that's not, it's not quite that bad, but. those places where we feel invisible, where we feel like we're dying to ourselves all the time, actually, like, that's what Jesus talks about, you know? And I think in my younger days, I thought that I had to like go on missions or something to find a place where I could die to myself in order to like live for the Lord. And I think I realized at some point in those early years of motherhood, like, oh, I just have to like open my eyes and choose to do it. Like, I just have to choose to give my life away. And it's right here every day, holy ground. So there's a sweet invitation there to get low on purpose and to let just be seen by God there. And I think it can become like romantic with him. And I know that a lot of the moments don't look romantic. They can look kind of ugly and hard, and you can feel really lonely in those places. And I think the sweet thing is like when we allow the Lord into those places, it's like the lower I go, the more I feel his eye, like his eyes of delight, not because I'm earning them, just because I'm aware of them, you know? Just because it's like, oh gosh, I really have a desire for someone to see this right now. And then I'm like, oh, right, you do, and it's just you and me. And that's really sweet. So it really starts to feel like holy ground from that place. Okay, another, I just have a couple more. Another barrier is the kind of the inefficiency. I don't know if that's something that bothers you guys, but the slowness of children. That was a hard one for me. The lateness and the all the things that I used to really pride myself on being on time and kind of like having my day planned out, and it's like the disruptions and the changes of plans are incessant, right? So the invitation that I have sensed from the Lord in that place is to rediscover eyes of wonder. Because children do move slow. They enjoy God's creation just by default. They enjoy just like life by default. We have to like convince them to stop doing it in order for them to stop doing it, right? It's like we have to convince them that there are more important things than noticing the roly-poly on the sidewalk. You know, their natural inclination is to enjoy the roly-poly on the sidewalk, you know? And I think usually when I allow my kids to wonder and I go to that place with them, it's like a half a minute, you know? It's not actually that big of a deal. But my spirit in it is so different. And theirs is too. And we get to connect. And I get to remember, like, that God is always sprinkling these, like, beautiful gifts through our day if we can give ourselves a minute to notice. And so, like, to just let them, you know, pick up a piece of grass or notice a caterpillar or smell a flower or giggle with each other about something that doesn't even make any sense, or, you know, like just to rediscover those childlike eyes of wonder, I think is a beautiful invitation in this season that sadly will go away. You know, they will not always have those eyes so easily. And so when I think when you have a set of eyes like that in your home, that's, you know, their natural inclination is to delight in creation and to delight in new things and to delight in do it again, 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 do it again. Go there with them and just see how God changes your heart. I know that he's changing mine, and those layers of control are still coming off of me, but it's there's a really sweet invitation there. Okay, last one I'm going to share here. And we've talked a little bit about weakness and exhaustion and the human limitations, but I think there's a unique place for failure in motherhood. I have felt a lot of times in motherhood that, like, I just can't do this right. I'm going to fail them. I am wounding them in all kinds of ways, not on purpose. Like, I really want to not do that, and I'm doing it anyway because I'm broken. And I think that used to really bring me to a hopeless place of, like, why did God give me this job if I can't do it? And I think the invitation there that the Lord is leading me to is to come to know that I am not the hero of the story. And to come to know that Jesus actually is the hero of the story. It's the greatest thing that I could ever do as a mom is be a big old road sign pointing to the heart of heaven. So like, I'm not it. He's it. And I think learning how to fail well in front of our children, you know, to say, like, that was not the mom, that what I just said, that was not the mom I want to be. You please forgive me. Can we pray that the Lord would just wash those words off of you? And then to watch them come into a place of freedom where they're going, oh man, I messed up. Sorry, mommy. Will you forgive me? And then it's just off of them. No shame. I think learning how to fail well and learning how to let Jesus be the hero of the story is a really beautiful invitation for us as moms. Because the reality is we're not going to be all of it. For our kids. We are not going to be everything for them. and the Lord is going to use the tattered threads we give them to weave together a tapestry. He is writing the story of their lives. So there's freedom. There's freedom in that. Okay, so I want to talk about a few just practical tips. And these are things, you know, these are kind of parts of what all the barriers and imitations that we've just talked about, but just a few practical applications. One is to watch your children. Just watch them. Learn about belovedness by watching their freedom to express. Learn about wonder by watching how their eyes see the world, how their eyes see people, how their eyes see creation. Watch your children often. And as you teach them how to be adults, let them teach you how to be childlike. And you can partner together and be students of the Lord together. Okay, another practical tip is to transform the mundane tasks somehow. So one of my favorites is folding laundry to pray for the person who wears the thing. And it's simple, but instead of going like, ugh, look at all these clothes, and we have too many, and we're, you know, like, and they don't wear them, you know, they wear them for an hour, and then they throw them in the hamper, instead of going to all of that place, which is easy to do, and going, how long is this going to take me, I have other things to do, and instead just go like, this is going to just be my prayer time for my family, and so as I fold and put them into their piles, like, just to pray for the person who wears the thing, and give thanks for the pile of clothes that represents the people in your home. But I think any way that you can transform the mundane tasks, maybe it's dishes, maybe it's cooking, maybe it's just to somehow allow the Lord to transform that with you into prayer time, into time of gratitude. But I think the ones that are the hardest for you are the most significant ones to like somehow shift the perspective and make it a rich time. I think there's an invitation there. Okay, this one is another one of my favorites. Every time somebody in your home, and again, some of you have little bitties who aren't doing this yet, and some of you are kind of past this stage maybe, but every time somebody in your house screams, "Mommy," think about crying out to God with that kind of raw. I mean, it is, like, in my house, even my 11-year-old still, you know. And every time I'm trying to develop the habit of every time that happens, just going, "Abba, Father, Abba, Father, Abba, Father." Like, hold, okay. You're here to help me. I'm not alone. We're gonna do the moment, you know. I think God is so eager. The Holy Spirit is so eager to help us. So eager to help us in the real life moments. That's why he left heaven and put skin on. He's so eager to enter in. So I think that can just be like you can develop that as a cue for you, a reminder every time somebody says "Mommy," or especially screams it. That's for me. just to remind you to keep crying out to God in the middle minutes. I think last one, when there are not enough minutes, ask God to do what to do with the ones you have. And I think this has a lot to do for me with like letting go of trying to be everything for my children. I'm just going, okay, Lord, there are 5 kids who want my attention right now. Where do you have me? And maybe it's like, okay, we're going to play a quick game, and then we're going to take this one in the other room and do homework. Or we're going to, you know, and I feel the Holy Spirit, as I ask, I feel the Holy Spirit's eagerness to help. And sometimes it's giving me the right words to communicate with a child who I'm just like not connecting with. We're just missing each other. And the Lord gives me, when I ask, like, he's so eager to give me like the words. Sometimes it's like an analogy that doesn't even make sense to me, but they're like, "Oh, I get it," you know, because he knows the language of their hearts. And he is writing their stories, and we get to just play a role. So I think when there's not enough you, when there's not enough wisdom, when there's not enough time, to just reach out and ask the Lord what to do. has been a big one for me. Okay, so in conclusion, I think instead of spending our energy trying to resist the barriers or get rid of the barriers or not be so messy, I think my encouragement is just to let it be a sloppy mess and look for the eyes of God in the middle of it. And I'm so confident that you will find him in a greater measure. I think I used to think that Christianity was about getting better at life. And I think I realized that spiritual maturity probably has far more to do with knowing my need for Jesus and learning about that whole he's the hero of the story thing. I think that's what true maturity looks like. So that's the journey I'm on. I feel like I'm just beginning. And I just encourage you guys to lean into that with me. So the goal is not to be perfect or to have the perfect home or to create the perfect families, create perfect children. But as we come into just our intense need for a Savior, I think we might actually start getting close to truly understanding the good news. The good news of Jesus who left heaven and put skin on. The good news of a real God who wants to enter into our real life. And we might actually become the best teachers of what faith is all about. So we go, let's just need a lot of Jesus together, you know? So as we dare to lift our eyes in the midst of our real life ugly moments, we find the open arms of the Lord, inviting us to receive sufficiently for the moment, sufficiently from him for today. So he loves you fiercely. And I just encourage you that to keep looking for the invitation. Let that be a mantra, just to look for the invitation when you're not sure where he is or when he feels far away. I have a few discussion questions. I don't know, I sent them to Lindsay yesterday, so I'm not sure if she got them. You have them. Okay, awesome. So that's all I have. Let me just pray for us, and then you can discuss in your groups. Father God, we thank you for your heart for us. We thank you, Lord, that you are not far away. We thank you that you are close up and eager to help us in our real life messy moments, in our sleeplessness, in our weariness, in our weakness, in our human limitations, in our failures. In the invisibility, God, we thank you that you are eager to meet with us there and to transform the barriers, the things that feel like they're in the way of our joy and in the way of motherhood being everything we wanted it to be, everything we expected it to be, and transforming those barriers into doorways to meet with you and to know you with skin on. So God, I just pray your blessings on each of these women and their families. We just pray your blessings on this sacred, holy ground that they're walking on, this sacred season that they're in. Just pray that they would find your invitations in the middle of the hardest places. So God bless them with your peace. With your freedom, thank you that it is for freedom that you set us free, Lord Jesus. So bless these women with your freedom, with your peace, with your joy, and just extra measures of grace. Bless their discussions, and we pray this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.